The staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you a jolly, merry, happy, joyful, fantastic, exciting, fancy, magnificent, remarkable, special, white, sparkling, terrific, stunning, festive, and wonderful holiday season.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we're bringing you a story about the time we bombed the Northern Lights.
So they sent up a rocket with 100 kilograms of explosives, basically H2O molecules, water, and exploded it in the Aurora Borealis band. Within 2 seconds, they had created a 40-kilometer-wide hole in the Aurora Borealis.
Wait for that. Two things I learned from the story that you're about to hear. One is that, yes, Canada bombed the Aurora Borealis. Two, the Northern Lights make noises. Sometimes. And that is about as newsy and informational as things are going to get. Because as you will hear, today's episode sounds a little bit different. It's a little bit more poetic than our regularly scheduled programming. It's a bit more disco music, also, than you'll usually hear on Canada Land. But I really like it. And that's all I'm going to say. This is a story brought to us by documentarians Nicolas Lachapelle and Eloise Demers-Pinard, who traveled to Churchill, Manitoba, and beyond in order to try to record the sound of the Northern Lights. Happy holidays. Wait for it.
If you tune in a very sensitive, low-frequency radio receiver anywhere in the world, you hear strange sounds. But some of those sounds are characteristic and unique to the auroral zone. As a matter of fact, some of those sounds in the background
now. Yes, I
seem
to hear noises.
And some people believe that these sounds are actually generated by the auroral particles as they enter the Van Allen zones and stream down the lines of force of the Earth's magnetic field.
The noises that we have heard have been noises that come because we have taken radio signals and put them through a radio receiver, and that's how we've heard them. But there are people who claim to hear noises at the time that there is an auroral display. So is there any scientific basis on this? Has this been observed?
It doesn't seem likely that you can hear a direct sound from the aurora.
From 1956 to 1985, scientists from the Canadian and U.S. armies launched over 3,000 rockets in the sky of Churchill, a remote northern Manitoba community. Their main goal was to study the effects of northern lights on human activity. The researchers made, however, an unexpected discovery. A peculiar pattern hidden amongst the electromagnetic waves. The sound of the Aurora Borealis. 40 years later, two lovers and documentarists preoccupied about the fate of the world leave for Churchill on a quest to record the sound of the Northern Lights. Both secretly hoping to hear them with bare ears. And in doing so, to bring back some magic into the world. This is That Forgotten Need to Probe the Sky. After a two-day train ride, heading north through the boreal forest and the taiga, to the extreme limits of the Canadian Shield, way above the 58th parallel north, our two documentarists finally reached Churchill. There there, they immediately hop on a snowmobile and follow inland the Great Missinippi River, leaving behind the windy shores of the Hudson Bay. Their destination? A cabin in the wilderness, where they'll attempt to record the sound of the Northern Lights for the first time.
Here's home, guys. All right. That's pretty cool. Is that a map of the area?
That is, yeah.
So we are...
And this is the Hudson Bay. Okay.
Yeah, so we're right there. Orford Lake.
Just to...
Churchill is located on the path of one of the world's most important polar bears' migratory route. And while in winter time polar bears are usually hunting far out on the icy Hudson Bay, there's always a lethal risk of coming across a solitary male in the tundra.
There's two roads in Churchill. One road comes down here, CR 30,
yeah,
and then there's another road follows the coast to right there to the study center. And that's it.
Okay. And this is the train.
Yeah, and that's the train.
Oh, yeah.
And then the hydro line follows the train.
Okay. So how far are we from Churchill? You said 25 kilometers?
I'd say probably 30 kilometers.
30 kilometers.
To capture the sound of the aurora without any interference, the two documentarists have to get away from the city and all its electricity.
I keep mentioning that because when I heard what you guys were here for, I was like, oh, so they're trying to prove the old wives' tale that you can hear the Northern Lights, because you know, some people say like they can hear them crackling when it's really quiet, and some people are like, that's bullshit. But you never know. I mean, I don't know.
I can actually show you our gear. Are you curious?
Auroras produce three distinct sounds. First, the auroral chorus, which sounds like electronic singing birds.
It's a homemade. A friend of us that is a mechanic and a bit of a self-taught caller made this.
Next, the spherics. Crackling sounds like lightning strikes.
So you put this and you just do this. And normally, we're going to be able to record the sound of the Northern Lights.
Ah, cool.
Finally, the whistlers. A sound that have been described by witness as a peculiar single note, a bit like the magnet that fragments into several colors.
But, I mean, this is an experiment.
Old-timers have all sorts of ridiculous stories.
Yeah.
Like they say, because back in the day, they used to just sit out here and listen to radio because they didn't have anything else, so they'd have radios playing.
Yeah.
And they say that like, when the Northern Lights are crazy, sometimes you can like catch like your radio will be playing NCI, which is the only channel you get here, and then all of a sudden you'll start hearing like, oh, blah, 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 like Russians talking, and you're like, what the hell? They say that, but I don't know. That's old-timer stories.
As they lay silent on the frozen river, in minus 50 degrees Celsius weather, our two lovers turn their hopeful gaze toward the night sky. Their breath is suspended in the crisp air. They wait, their ears straining for the faintest sound of the Northern Lights. Between them, a small metal box topped by a long antenna turned toward the cosmos, records the sidereal void.
Churchill on the southern rim of the Arctic was chosen as the launch site when the program began in 1959 because of its uninterrupted view of the upper atmosphere.
One, fire, plus one, plus two, plus three, plus four, plus five.
In 3.5 minutes, it's 100 miles above the Earth, sending back its messages.
lovers emerge from the wilderness after two whole nights spent under the northern sky. Their first attempt failed. They recorded only static. The auroras remained silent. The following days, the two documentarists go around town and ask the residents, "Is it possible to hear the northern lights? Has anyone ever heard their sound? Where? And how?" Many laugh at them, but some make echo of an old tale, a rumor according to which it is possible under the right sky, in the right weather, at the right moment, to hear the sky's song with your own ears.
Well, I don't know if there's a sound. Not unless you're way out in the wilderness and you can't hear anything. Maybe there is sound. I don't really know.
I'm not too sure whether I've heard them or just the sounds of nature.
Now, there's so much noise in the world that you really need to be isolated from everything else. And maybe that's what it is all about, to pick it up. You got to focus on it.
Eventually, they cross paths with a man dressed in a simple jacket. Yeah. His hands bare, his hair flowing freely in the freezing wind. A man who claims to be the king of the north.
If I was a sheriff in this town...
The man offers to lead them to his childhood friend, an old Inuk, who has lived all his life under the northern sky and knows the secret of its singing nights.
Come inside!
We have the boots.
Come inside.
Should we remove them?
No. Come inside.
Hi. Nice to meet you. I'm Nicola.
Nicola?
Yeah.
Harry Tutu.
Harry Tutu. We heard a lot about you.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
After I told them.
Eloise.
Come on,
yeah? No problem.
Don't worry about your boots. Don't worry about your boots.
Right. Thanks a lot for having us.
I think they'd rather have it short of vodka.
Want a shot?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, God right. I'm glad you agreed to that. You too?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, sure.
Entree. You go sit up. Go sit up.
We're doing a radio documentary.
Radio?
Radio. So only sound. And the main project is to come here and record the sound of the Northern Lights.
Okay.
Try to.
Well, you won't catch them.
No. Why so?
Because we're too far south.
Go sit down over here, don't.
Yeah, okay.
Stand.
Sit down. I grew up under the Northern Lights. I used to watch them all the time, ever since I was a little boy. My people, my culture, we want them to come, we'll whistle. And then keep on whistling until they come, and then when it gets bright, and then when you get scared of them, you rub your fingernails together. You rub your nails together, and that makes them go away. So that's the Inuk story about Northern Lights, eh? And if you whistle too long, it'll come down, it'll cut your head off, and it'll play with it up in the sky. That's what happens if you whistle too long at Northern Lights.
What do you feel like when you see them? Does anything come to your mind?
When I see the Northern Lights, I think of my history. I think of my people, my past, and all those people that are gone. And I know it's going to go on and on and on and on. Like a deep feeling inside. It's just like going to a grave. That's what it kind of represents. And when I see them, I feel proud. I feel happy that I'm here and alive with them. And I know someday I'll be up there dancing with them. Hey.
Someday you'll be in the Northern Lights too.
Someday.
Thank you.
disappeared in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go when I die.
A year of tremendous solar activity, flares and sunspots, the peak of the sun's 11-year cycle. That increased magnetic activity can burn out transformers and power lines, disrupt long-distance telecommunications, and distort radio waves. It also creates the aurora borealis. Electrons tumbling from the sun crash into the Earth's atmosphere, making a river of light that flows across the sky, the solar wind made visible.
Magnetic disturbances created by the Northern Lights could produce some minor interfering currents in the brain or the nervous system, which might disrupt normal human behavior.
With us going in there.
Technically, we're not allowed to. I was just thinking that. I'm very happy to go inside. We'll just have to check. There's a few different places where you can get into it.
Yep.
So we'll just have to check the snowbank stuff like
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't care about...
Yeah, just don't say I took you there.
Yeah,
you can,
yeah, yeah.
You can post it, do whatever you want. I don't
All right.
care.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are on the tundra right beside Hudson Bay with a lot of little trees, and they're all windswept. Because we have a prevailing wind off the bay from the north. Yeah, just rocky Canadian shields with tons of little trees.
On one side, what do we see on the horizon, or on our left?
So just over here, there was just a huge explosion, and no one knew what the heck it was, and got back to town later that night and talked to the cop in town, and he's like, oh yeah, the SWAT team was in town, and they came to blow up some unexploded ordnance. So along this whole shore of Hudson Bay, there's all sorts of unexploded ordnance from when the U.S. military was here. So they're still being found regularly, which is kind of concerning, but... So all the little trails that go between this road and the bay, they'll all have signs that say, caution, unexploded ordnance.
Driving across the frozen plains, the two documentarists eventually make out a couple of strangely shaped buildings. These large concrete and steel structures are the remains of the rocket research range.
So we can walk from here if you guys want to go check it out. Or if you don't want to, that's fine too.
I'd like to go in.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it.
That the US and Canadian military launched their rockets to the sky for 40 years.
It kind of feels very much like some sort of moon installation. Very much science fiction feel to it, but in a slow decay. Churchill was chosen as a place because it was very far north and there was a lot of auroral activity there. And the military was really interested in this because the auroral activity, the magnetic shield and the aurora, could play havoc with navigational systems for missiles.
Skybird, this is Dropkick.
From the ground, the Northern Lights are hauntingly beautiful. When they show up on a radar screen, they can cause confusion and panic. Strong auroras have been known to interfere with early warning radar systems.
So they wanted to understand how it worked and what the limitations were for them if they're going to bomb Russia.
It would be disastrous to interpret some of these extra signals as enemy fighters approaching, for example. So radar systems are subject to danger from the distortions introduced by the Northern Lights.
And then there's later, you have this attempt to actually change the Aurora Borealis, to affect it physically. And this was called Project Waterhole. So they sent up a rocket with 100 kilograms of explosives, basically H2O molecules, water, and exploded it in the Aurora Borealis band. Within 2 seconds, they had created a 40 kilometer wide hole in the Aurora Borealis. They don't know why it happened so fast. The hole lasted for about 3 minutes and then started to sort of collapse again. And they did this a few times over the next four or five years.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, fire. Plus one.
And really, on one level, they're not trying to destroy anything here. They're just trying to understand it better. But that need to physically touch something and understand it more and probe more is so ingrained in scientific inquiry and so much part of our curiosity as humans.
Are you on frequency? Okay, right.
All right, come on, safety, have a great morning.
Impact area clear.
I think I'm not surprised by it, but at the same time, you first hear about it, you are surprised by it, that they would actually attempt something like this.
82.5. In the 80s, after several decades of research, the government shut down the rocket research range to pursue more lucrative scientific endeavors. The first golden age of space exploration was slowly coming to an end, and we collectively stopped dreaming of the sky.
You never know what's going to be useful when you do science. I mean, sometimes you do, obviously, but sometimes you just don't know. On one hand, it's very much a shame that that pure curiosity was just not supported, you know. That's what makes science, that's what makes knowledge.
Le 4 janvier 2023, on s'en va enregistrer le son des aurores boréales.
That very night, amidst the ruins of the rocket range, the two documentarists attempt to record the sound of the Northern Lights for a second time. Where the scientists succeeded before them, perhaps they will succeed too.
Ça, c'est notre enregistreuse. Qui, dont tous les fils sont gelés. Il fait moins 44 en ce moment. Tout est gelé. Puis tout a comme... c'est un peu déloussé.
They start their device with frozen fingers and wait expectantly. Their bodies numbed by the cold. They wait. Wait again. No result. Only the resounding silence above them.
chasseurs de caribou, clairement, il y a plein de bois.
On the far edges of Churchill sits a small wooden house covered in caribou's antlers. This house is the home of a man who claims to have heard the Northern Lights with his bare ears.
Doug!
We were admiring your caribou antler.
Ah!
Are you the one who hunted them?
Yeah.
Isn't that impressive?
Yeah.
I mean, thanks for having us. We didn't mean to intrude or anything. We were just, you know, I don't know how much we told you of our project the other day. I don't think we had a chance to tell you that much, did we?
I don't think so.
So
let's put it this way. If you did, he wouldn't remember.
Oh, all right.
He has very short-term memory.
Oh, all right.
At that point.
Okay, all right.
That's why I have to keep an eye on everything.
Oh, thank God you're here, then.
Inside, the air is warm. The smell of roasted onions fills the room. The walls are decorated with numerous taxidermy ducks, fish and martens. A black bear pelt adorns the living room, where the trapper's wife is hunched over a 2,000-piece puzzle.
We've told you we came to record the sound of Northern Lights, and I know some people think we're crazy. What do you think?
Great. I like it. I could lay in my tent there when they do come up and listen to them and watch them dance. It's great.
What's the song like?
Oh, geez, that's hard to explain. More of a static noise than not crackling, just light noise, you can hear it, but nothing really sharp. At least I haven't heard anything really sharp. I don't know what kind of noise that makes. Just like a crackling sound. To me, anyways.
Could you do it for us?
Oh, Jesus. No, I can't.
Did you miss it?
Oh, yeah, but now that I had heart problems, I can't go out anymore. No, but every chance I get, I like to be out in the land, that's for sure.
What do you miss the most about it?
Oh, being out, going to the land, looking at country, going for a ride.
You seem like you had a great life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, jeez, yes.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Can't complain. I complain, the old lady will kick me out.
So what are you two guys doing? What about you, John? What are you occupying your days with?
This.
And what about you, Chris? What do you spend your days doing?
Sitting on that chair and watching TV.
What are your favorite programs?
Oh, Jesus. The hunting shows, fishing. When I was younger, though, I never watched TV. I'd be out in the land.
Do you look at the Northern Lights?
Oh, yes, when they're out. Oh, yes, I love them. I get the kick out of them. Yeah.
Especially at that window over there watching them.
Really?
Yeah, when they get nice and bright here. Oh, they come out. Yeah.
What do you like about them?
Oh, just the crackle and the waves they make and the colors. It's good. Good to watch.
And as the two documentarists are on their way out the door, the man is already sitting on his chair by the window, waiting for his old celestial friends to come visit and dance before his eyes. There, every night, he hopes to hear their song once again. Just once.